Hi, so this is some comments on M.A. Kaiser's text, Discourse on Colonialism, which was written in 1950. I gave you a small portion of this. I think it's a beautiful text and very pushy, of course, which raises some really important questions for us. M.A. Kaiser was a poet and politician and an early anti-colonial and decolonial thinker who influenced all kinds of really important people, some of whom we will look at also in this course, including Frantz Fanon and Malcolm X, probably. He was from Martinique. Martinique is an island in the Caribbean, which was a French colony. And so he's writing from the perspective of the colonized, and he's challenging the major narratives of colonization. So why does this matter to us? Let's start by identifying what questions Kaiser is asking, and then I think it'll be pretty obvious why this matters to us. Maybe first of all, we should ask the question, who is Kaiser talking to? Because, I mean, the simplest answer to that question is he's talking to French people. He's talking to the colonizer population, which absorbed and controlled Martinique, and within which he had his, or under which he had his education. So he went to school in Martinique, but the school system was colonially controlled by France, and then he went and he studied in France. And I mean, you know, extremely intelligent writer who became friends with all kinds of prominent other writers in France. So he's talking to the French population and the French intellectual population, and he's taking aim at this dominant colonial narrative, which I think that on the one hand, you can recognize as being nothing but nonsense. But on the other hand, I bet a whole bunch of us still do believe at some deeper, unquestioned level. That's the purpose of reading this. And that basic story is that, yeah, colonization might have been bloody. The movement of, you know, the French into the Caribbean, first the Spanish into the Caribbean, and then the French and the English and the French into North America, and the French and the Dutch and the Belgians into Africa, and the English into India, and so on. The dominant colonial narrative about this is that this may have been bloody, but it did bring civilization to these places, which otherwise were backwards and savage and lacking in progress. And therefore, though there is lots of blood here, and nowadays, of course, we're much more civilized and we wouldn't do this in such a bloody fashion, nevertheless, this was all progress and this is all for the best. I know that people still think this. A guy said that in my class earlier this semester. Can't we just consider this genocide of 20 million people in the Caribbean, he said, as evolution? Well, no, we can't actually. Okay, so who's he talking to? He's talking to French people. He's talking to the colonizer population. Which is structurally positioned over him as a colonized person. But then he's talking to us, of course, also. And so the question I would ask you is, which side do you fit on? Do you identify with the colonizer civilization, the colonizer culture, the colonizer identity, or do you identify with the colonized population, the colonized identity? Kaiser speaks from the position of the colonized, and he is arguing with his oppressors. I feel that a whole bunch of us are in colonized or neo-colonized situations, and yet we fairly systematically identify with the colonizer civilization. So those of you who are African-American, those of you who are Latinx, even the name Latinx only points towards Europe. It doesn't point towards the indigenous background that most of you probably have. So which of those heritages of yours, the African heritage and the American heritage, the Latin heritage and the indigenous heritage, which of those are you going to identify with? Part of colonization is an attempt to, how did they put it? In Canada, they put it this way. In the U.S., kill the Indian and save the man. So colonization is supposedly a civilizing mission, which gets rid of the old savage, stupid, mythological, confused, barbaric, subhuman ways that apparently were typical of all peoples except for the Europeans. And it tries to integrate what's left after this cultural genocide, what's left of individuals, into its own structure. So to the degree that you simply identify as American, but not as related to indigenous peoples in Mexico or in Africa or wherever your people come from, you have been successfully colonized. So the question here, the big question to start with, is where do you stand in this relation of colonizers and colonized, and which side are you on? I think that's an important thing to recognize, that we don't just have identities. We identify with certain models that are offered to us. And at some point, that identification amounts to a picking of sides. So which side are you on? Are you with the so-called civilization, which supposedly improved everything for everyone, though it destroyed tens, if not hundreds of millions of lives? Or do you identify with the oppressed of the earth, what Fanon will call the wretched of the earth? Do you recognize yourself as oppressed? And if you recognize yourself as oppressed, perhaps you have a useful, slightly external perspective upon the civilization that everybody else, insofar as they identify with that system, is unable to see. Okay, so which side are you on, and who do you identify with? And then what questions is Kaiser asking and answering himself? Let's see. Was colonization good for the world? Very general question. Where does our society come from? We are inside the society. We are inside its school system. We are inside its media system. We are inside its nationalism. We are inside its ideology. We are inside its economy. And being inside it, all of these forces tend to operate ideologically, that is, so as to convince us that our civilization, our society, is natural, is good, is progress, is the only way that it could be, is appropriate to human nature, and all the rest. And yet, if you start to ask historical questions, and this is one reason to think about history, history is not just an abstract set of narratives that don't matter to anybody because they're over. History is the blueprint of the construction of where you are now. And if you wish to know where you are now, which I think would be a good, intelligent wish to have, then you should look at the history which puts us where we are. So where does our society come from? It comes from the process of colonization. That's fact. Is this process of colonization progress? Is the continual so-called development of capitalist, colonialist society, is that progress? Are we involved in progress right now? Is our society good? I think these are the questions that he's asking. Okay, so now let's think about colonization. You know that colonization happened, I imagine. I bet you don't know the details of that process. I would encourage you to learn them. You know, so we have different waves of colonization. The Spanish show up in the Caribbean. They take over Mexico, and they take over South America, and they and then the English move from the eastern seaboard, and the French come in from Canada and down through the middle of North America, and the Spanish are in Florida and New Orleans, and we have these different colonial powers, the primary ones being Spain, France, and England, European powers that expanded out of Europe, beginning in the late 1400s. First of all, Portugal going to Africa and establishing the slave trade. Early capitalism is centered largely in Italy, and Genoa in particular. and then operates through Spain. So Christopher Columbus is an Italian guy operating through Spain on the basis of Italian. Well, there's no Italian state then. Like, we tend to think that all these nations and countries are just natural things. There was no such thing as Italy until the middle of the 1800s. Anyway, that process gets going and capitalism gets going on the basis of slavery, on the basis of the slave trade. So this society from the very beginning, this expansive movement that begins in the 1400s in the aftermath of the Crusades, once Europe has become very solidly this insular Christian bubble that, though it previously had connections during the Roman world, it had connections with Northern Africa, it had connections with the Middle East, and it didn't have the kind of racism that it would later have either, by the way. Here I'm telling you about a book called Black Marxism, written by Cedric Robinson. Anyway, this system expands outward. So Kayser says it expanded outward for its own internal reasons. It was becoming capitalist, and capitalism implies expansion, implies perpetual so-called growth, perpetual increase of profit. And in order to achieve increase of profit, perpetual increase of labor supplies, raw materials, and markets. Different portions or different points in the history of colonization can also be understood in terms of the internal logic of capitalism. So once investment is no longer viable, so this is especially the wave of colonization that happens at the end of the 1800s, which is when Africa is really taken over. This takes place because profits could no longer be achieved by investing within Europe. They needed to invest elsewhere in order to get bigger returns. So because of the internal logic of capitalism, Europe expands. Okay, so we know this. Europe, Spain takes over the Caribbean, it takes over Mexico, takes over South America, all this stuff. And there's a genocide. There's an ongoing wave of genocide. There are centuries of genocide. If you wanted really to think about contemporary capitalism, which we would call neoliberalism, it's still colonizing. It's still taking over land. It's still taking over labor. It's still subjecting people, and it's still calling it progress, right? So Kayser wants to say, no, this is not progress. This is regress. And though the logic of colonization, the self-justification of the colonial endeavor and the colonial nations has always been that they are civilized, they have advanced technology, they have science, they have this thing called humanism, this idea that every human being, every individual is dignified and ought to act so as to bring themselves to perfection. This is indeed part of the ideology of the Renaissance. And so Europe is able to portray itself, and of course, because it becomes the victor and it destroys everybody else's voice and everybody else's records and everybody else's bodies, there's nobody really to talk back. The European colonizers are able to say, we represent civilization, and the Taino people in the Caribbean and the Mexica in Mexico and the native peoples in North America and the black people in Central Africa and the Indian people in India and so on, they all represent barbarism. They all represent savagery. Now, by the way, that logic, you can find that in Chinese imperial expansion 2,000 years ago. You can find it in Greek colonial imperial behavior and expansion 2,500 years ago. So this, and if you wanted to get a name for it, you could probably call it Orientalism. This is from an important writer named Edward Said. So this logic that, like, we, the dominators, are the civilized, and anybody who doesn't speak our language, anybody who's outside our culture, they're going to be the barbaric. They're going to be the savage, the backwards, the subhuman. This is an old trick. It's an old logic. Europeans deployed this logic, and we are still under the sway of this logic. That's the problem. This is the big thing he wants to deal with. Is it really true that colonization civilizes? This is probably his central question. Did colonization civilize? Was European colonization progress? No, it wasn't. What was colonization really? Well, his answer is that its destruction, and that even though it claims to deliver civilization, it actually destroys civilizations. It destroyed African civilization, Incan civilization, Aztec civilization, native communities all over the world. And notice that though we hear, and I think people are still buying this stuff as American power and NATO power intervenes all over the world, people are still believing that the democracy is being delivered from Europe out, from this capitalist colonist explosion outward, that freedom and democracy and equality are delivered by that movement. But this is the exact opposite of the truth. Kayser tells us that the vast majority of African, American indigenous, South American indigenous, Caribbean indigenous societies were communal. They were anti-capitalist. They were democratic. They were cooperative. These are the civilizations and the peoples, the patterns of life that were irreversibly destroyed by the process of colonization. So what did colonization consist in? Nothing but, what does he say? Appetite and force. It's brutality. So instead of colonization civilizing, colonization actually decivilizes. It reduces and it breaks apart pre-existing communities, which ought to be called civilized. They had culture, they had political self-control, they had history, they had all kinds of civilized stuff. It decivilizes both the colonized and the colonizer. Because now the one doing the colonization, say like the conquistadors, become utter beasts. And if you don't believe that, check out a text that we always do in another class of mine by a guy named De las Casas, who was a priest who traveled with the conquistadors. And he documents how the Spanish treated the people in the Caribbean and Mexico and South America that they ran into. They destroyed them. They tortured them. They raped them. You have no idea. I mean, that book is just it's a chronicle of atrocities. That's what colonization was. But then he wants to say that colonization decivilizes not only the people who actively do it, not only the soldiers who go and kill the people whose land raw materials are being taken and who are being enslaved for the purpose of enriching these colonizers. It doesn't just decivilize the victims or decivilize the direct physical victimizers. It also decivilizes the entire population that allows all this stuff to happen. Now, if you start looking into how the world actually works, what American foreign policy is, how the IMF and the World Bank operate, where they are positioned globally, how the global north operates with respect to the global south, how terms like terrorist and counterinsurgency are really deployed, you'll start to see that processes of colonization still go on today. And our attitude, those of us who are not doing the actual takeover of land, the actual like training of soldiers and killing of people in order to take their land and resources and labor, those of us who sit back home, and here we are back at the beginning of our course, we are also decivilized insofar as we accept that all kinds of Yemeni babies are being bombed into oblivion. We don't care. All kinds of children are being raped all over the world by proxy armies that are funded and trained by the CIA and special forces. We don't care. We don't really know. We just don't want to look. It's fine with us because we think that everything is good, but also because maybe at some level we know it's not and we refuse to look. And this refusal to look at what's really happening is decivilization. We are dehumanized by our refusal to stop a process that is itself dehumanizing. We are dehumanized insofar as we approve of things that in principle we ought not to approve of. So the pushiest step that he takes here is to say, look, colonization is Nazism. Now, what can he mean by that? It imposes a superiority and an inferiority. It starts off with this idea that there's a master race The master race in this case is the Europeans. And the race concept is a little complicated here, but there is this ongoing idea that the European civilization is superior. That's the whole premise. That's the whole reason we can, instead of trying to reverse colonization or go back to communal control or throw off European languages and behaviors, get rid of capitalism, the only reason that we rhetorically have not to do that is that we still affirm that this whole process was progress. How can it be progress? Only if the European source of this process involved something superior, and thus everyone else is inferior. All Native Americans, all Mexicans, all South Americans, all Africans, all Indians, all people in the Middle East, all Asians are inferior according to this logic. Kayser's like, that's Nazism. It's brutal. Nazism was brutality, right? Raw brutality, use of torture, total debasement, imprisonment without cause, mass executions, radical increase of inequality, profound racism. Now, his point is this is Nazism, and it is accepted. And he's writing in 1950, right? So this is a very fresh thing. It is accepted by all the European colonial peoples because until World War II, that kind of force, that kind of racism, that kind of imposition was only directed outside Europe. This is a racist attitude. And, you know, it's a cowardly attitude, out of sight, out of mind. Yeah, they kill black people. Black people are kind of backwards and stuff anyway. It's okay with me. Actually, I don't really need to think about it. Anyway, you know, Europe is civilized and Africa needs to be civilized. And if they're going to fight us on that, well, they just don't know what's good for them. He's like, that's Nazism. Or maybe his most direct statement, colonization is thingification. That is, it turns certain people in the world, maybe the majority of people in the world, into things instead of recognizing them as potentially self-determining humans. Think about what capitalism does to us. You know, insofar as we are bought and caused to work in ways that don't improve our minds, aren't we turned into tools? Aren't tools things? Aren't we thingified? Doesn't colonization continue in various guises? And then lastly, we can call colonization equivalent to Nazism because it involves the systematic installation of fear. It operates by fear. Totalitarianism operates by fear. Nazism operated by fear. Colonization operates by fear. When the French are in Algeria, how do they keep the Algerian people in line? By making them terribly afraid. Colonization is terrorism. Now go back and think about what both Coates and Baldwin told us about our society. Americans are profoundly afraid. Right? Okay, so now here's the most striking stuff. He's like, so you guys don't object to any of this stuff so long as it's happening to people that you can't see. But what this means is that you are already Nazis. You already have, this is the provocative, maybe poetic way that he puts this. You have a Hitler inside you. Hitler is your demon. And there's a kind of like threat and an ominous kind of thing here. Where on the one hand, you know, Kayser is really just thinking about decolonization. And this is 1950. So the Algerian Revolution throwing off French rule would begin in 1954. But the key events, the big massacres that caused, that sort of like heralded that, really came out of World War II. Decolonization gets going after World War II because the major colonial powers had weakened themselves by fighting against one another. So there's this threat that the oppressed are going to rise up, and indeed they do. They've been folded back. The Algerian government, the FLN, gets folded back into the colonial regimes, the capitalist colonial regimes, but not until like 1990 or so. So there's that threat that the oppressed are going to rise up. But there's also a threat that, look, a society that operates in this way, that systematically dehumanizes, that refuses to recognize the violence it itself perpetrates, that continually insists that it is a superior thing with superior people, and everything else is an inferior thing with inferior people. Such a society is already nascently, you know, like as a seed, potentially, Nazi. And what is that? So what's the second threat? The second threat is the rise of actual Hitlers, the rise of actual fascism, the rise of actual brutality, racism, and radical barbaric increase of inequality without apology within the colonial nations themselves. So he's claiming Nazism is natural for a colonial culture, and there's Nazism latent within all colonial cultures. So back to that question, who do you identify with? You know, are you one of those Nazis? Just whatever it is that your skin looks like, are you identified with the colonial culture which exploits the rest of the world in order to continue to increase its own wealth, although it's not really its own wealth, it's the wealth of a very small elite? Is that who you are? You know, the thoughtless perpetrator of American imperialism? Is that you? Because then he's telling you that you have a Hitler inside you. Or do you identify with voices like those of Aimé Césaire, who speak against these processes and identify with the oppressed, and then begin to think very militantly about how the oppressed can rise back up? And part of this process of elevating, re-elevating the oppressed is to show them that actually it was never the case that you were barbaric. African people are not backwards. African society was not barbaric. Indigenous society in the Americas was advanced and beautiful and involved equality and poetry and dance and everything that deserves to be called civilized. You are not from a barbaric background. And so, I mean, the whole, you know, like so many of you are Latino or Hispanic, but both of these terms only point at Europe, right? The Latins are, that's a European language. That's a group of people in Italy. The Hispanics, that's the Spanish. Well, what about your indigenous background? Who do you identify with? Who do you think you are? And how are you going to act, and who are you going to care about? If you continue to not care about anything except for getting a job and advancing the system and not asking any questions, then you have a Hitler inside you. Hitler is your demon. Okay, so to answer these questions, where did our society come from? It came from colonization. Was colonization good for the world? Did it bring civilization to barbaric places? Can we consider it progress? No, 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 and no. So then we open up this big, confusing question, which I do not think is unanswerable. And that question is, okay, then what would be real progress? I think we've brought up this question before, but maybe we should ask it again. What would be real progress? In order to identify what is real progress, perhaps various steps are necessary. In order to, this is a good question, right? What is progress for humanity or for our country or whatever? So then maybe we have to pierce the veil about what has always been called progress in our experience, because it's a lie. And then we should think, okay, so progress, wouldn't that mean moving towards better society? Maybe that would mean moving towards more communality, more socialism or anti-capitalism, definitely more democracy and more cooperation. So in order to identify progress, it seems that we need to be able to identify what would be a good society. And maybe identifying a good society also involves thinking about what would be truly good for individuals. So these are big old philosophical questions, but I think that they are addressable and we can begin to develop answers to them. And if we do so in an honest and courageous way, I think that we, at least some of us, those of us who do not wish to have a Hitler inside us, we may end up in radical antagonism to a lot of the structures that surround us. But hey, you're young. You can think about how to operate against these structures or under these structures or for other purposes than the purposes of these structures.